Man, we've been talking about, began a series about God callings. And we discovered in that God, down through history, has spoken to people at different points in history. And whenever God speaks, he speaks with a purpose, that there's something that God needs done. That the supernatural God looks down into our world, and there's something that he needs to take place, something that he needs to bring about in history, and he comes to different men and women at different times to then invite them to help him to do what God wants done. You know, we saw last Sunday, it's about 2000 B.C., God's purpose was to create a people for himself, a people of God. He created the nation of Israel. And he came to a person named Abram to be the first Israelite. And through Abram, then all the other Israelites would come, and the nation of Israel would then be God's people in this world. And it's through them that Jesus Christ would eventually come and be a blessing to the world. But now we move forward in time. This week is about 1600 B.C. The Israelites have exponentially increased in great numbers. But they've also been taken slaves to the Egyptians, who are brutalizing them and just ravaging the people and the way their treatment of them. So the people of Israel cry out to God, God help us, you know, save us. And God determines to save the people, his people, to get them free from Egypt. So he comes to a man named Moses to be that one to deliver his people from Egypt. Now, Moses is an Israelite, but through an incredible series of circumstances, he was also adopted by the Pharaoh. So he's an Israelite. He's Pharaoh's son. Pharaoh and the Egyptians are brutalizing the Israelites. Moses is in an awkward position. And one day he sees an Egyptian killing an Israelite. Moses reacts to the situation, overreacts, kills the Egyptian. Pharaoh hears about it. He wants to kill Moses. So Moses runs out of Egypt, flees for his life, and runs to a land called Midian. And the years pass, and Moses gets married, he has children, he settles down, and life is good. And he's set for life, at least he thinks. But God has a purpose for Moses. And we pick up our story today from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, now Moses was tending the flock of sheep of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. All right, Moses has lived in Midian a long time. And while Moses is in Midian living a decent, good life, the people in Israel are suffering in Egypt. And as long as Moses has been there, the people have been suffering here. And we're looking at this situation, Moses here, people of Israel here. Moses will be the one that God has chosen to free the people of Israel. And we think, hey, what a waste of time. If God wants to free the people of Israel, if they've been suffering this whole time, why did he let Moses live in Midian the good life as long as he did? Why didn't God do something sooner? And the reason God did not act sooner to call Moses to do what God needed Moses to do is because Moses would not have been able to hear God. There was a lot of noise in Moses' life. Noise that had consumed him, that was a part of who he was. And even if God had called Moses sooner to free the people of Israel, Moses would have been deaf to God. You know, Moses had the noise of being the adopted son of Pharaoh and yet being an Israelite. The noise of having killed a person. The noise of having to flee for his life, a refugee. The noise of being a stranger in a foreign land. The noise of all of life and trying to figure out what it all meant. And it's all going on in his mind and he's working through it. And God had needed Moses in a place that Moses could hear God. And as the years went by, Moses' spirit quieted down. His heart settled down. His life calmed down. And his hearing became clear that where he was in a place, in a position to be able to hear God speak to him. In the reality of our lives that we all have noise in our lives. So much noise, don't we? We have the noise of TV noise, cell phone noise, WeChat noise, Facebook noise, Snapchat noise, Instagram noise, Google noise, keeping our marriage together noise, fixing the house noise, rearing the children noise, taking care of the grandchildren noise, growing old noise, dealing with life noise, the world changing around us noise, 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 and we've had so much noise for so long, our hearing is, we're becoming hearing impaired, and when it comes to listening and hearing God, we have experienced hearing loss. And it takes time to get our hearing back. It takes time to place our lives in positions where if God is trying to speak to us, we can hear him. And Moses is in Midian many years. His hearing has gotten better. He's in a place that he can hear God, and God wants to talk to him. It says, so he left the flock, led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The place unknown to Moses at that time would be the place that he could hear God best, Mount Horeb. Where is your Mount Horeb? Where is that place that you go to in your life where you've heard God speak to you and that place you can hear God the best? For me, when I was going to West Point and I was struggling to survive West Point and I was scared for my life and didn't know if I'd make it or survive, there was a place above the cadet chapel on the hill in the wooded area. It was a bench that is secluded, no one can see, except you go up the little trail up to the side of the hill. But it's a bench by a little small pond of water. And when life got really hard for me, I'd put on my PT clothes and I would jog up there and I would sit on that bench by the pool of water. And I would sit there and it was there that God, I listened for God and heard God's voice and God sustained me and strengthened me. When I go to drill up at Rock Island, there's a place by the Mississippi River I drive my car to. I take my lunch, I take my Bible, and I take my prayers. And I drive down to the Mississippi River, and I sit there in my car by myself, or sometimes I get out and I sit on the rocks by the Mississippi. And as the water flows by, I sit there in the quiet, in the stillness, and all of the beauty of that moment, and I listen for God because it is there that God has spoken to me. And back here at home, my Mount Horeb is on my couch on the back porch. It's the place I go to early in the morning. The first thing I do before I do anything else, I tiptoe down the stairs and I go to the couch on the back porch, and it's there I open my Bible. It is there that I listen for God's voice and I spend time before him trying to hear what he has to say to me. And I go to these places, I have gone to these places, and I continue to go to these places because I've heard God speak and is there, and I so desperately need to hear God speak, to hear his encouragement, his help, and his love. I desperately need that. Where is your Mount Horeb? Where is your hearing the clearest and the best? That you know when you go there that you will encounter God. And you will be changed. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that through the bush, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that Moses, he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Lord of your God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses had been in the desert many years, but his life had slowed down, his hearing had improved, and he was in a place now that he could hear God. And so that now he could hear God, God needed to bring him somewhere so that he could pay attention to what God was saying. And so God provides this burning bush, and Moses goes over and sees this strange sight that is not burning up. It is full of the presence of God and is coming from an unlikely place. See, Moses' hearing was better. He had time. But now he needed to pay attention to see what God was doing around him. You know, in us, as we quiet our bodies down, as we quiet, make that time to hear God, our hearing gets better, but then we're left with a different problem. All right, now that we can hear God and we've created space to let God speak to us, while we're in this space, what are the things that we need to be doing to know what God wants us to do? You know, we live in an age of information overload. And we're always wondering, and I don't know about you, but I'm always wondering, all right, what do I need to be doing? You know, should I read this next best book? Should I spend more time Facebooking? Should I blog? Should I go to this conference or take this class? Or maybe study this? Or, you know, we've got time, but what are we to do with the time that we have to know what God wants to do now that our hearing has improved and we are ready to hear? You know, it's almost as if we are always looking down the road, preparing for the future. But if we're always looking down the road to what God has for us next, what we need to be doing, we miss the presence and the person of God working in our present. We miss the gift of today. We miss out on the people as they are today. We miss out on the experience God has for us in this moment today. Because we're always wondering, what do we need to do for tomorrow? And all of us, I really believe all of us have burning bushes, those places in our lives where the presence of God is sort of burning, is glowing with God's grace. And we're listening, we want to hear. But then to be intentional and begin to take notice and to turn aside. Elizabeth Baird Browning once wrote, earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes and the rest sit around and pluck blueberries. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think all of us have fingers that are stained blue. But if hearing God is anything, It is listening God speak to us and then watching for the burning bushes and then having enough sense to turn aside and take off our shoes. After all, that's what makes burning bushes so incredible. They're on fire with God. Verse 7. So after Moses is able to hear and turns aside, it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Man, as God speaks, I can see Moses' excite meter going up, right? God says, I've seen the misery of my people Israel. Moses thinks, go God. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. Go, God. I am concerned about their suffering. Go, God. I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians. Go, God. And I'm going to bring them up to a land that is spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey. And about that moment, Moses breaks out into his happy dance. Go, God. Go, God. Go, God. Yeah, God, you can do it. You can do it, God. But then God says, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses, go God, suddenly comes, no God. He is all excited as long as God is going to free the people, as long as God is going to lift them up, as long as God's going to set them free, you know, their oppressors. Man, go God. You can do it, God. I'm all for you. As long as Moses does not have to get involved. Man, he's good with it. As long as it does not cost Moses any time or effort, as long as it doesn't impact him, God, do whatever you want. I'm 100% for it. But the moment God says, yeah, all right, Moses, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it through you. No, God. You see, God comes to us and he speaks to us. And there's things that God wants done in this world, and he wants to get, but he invites us to do those with him, and he needs us to do those with him, and it costs us something. And the question is, are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to do what needs to be done to get involved with what God wants to get done? God wanted to free his people from slavery, and he called Moses to help him do it. But Moses said to God, Who am I, God? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Go, God. To know God. Who am I, God? Who am I? I'm just a sheep herder from Midian. Who am I to go to speak to Pharaoh? He's a new Pharaoh. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I have no credentials. I have no army. I have no navy. I have nothing. I'm a sheep herder, God. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? But beyond that, God, you know, not only going to Pharaoh, but who am I to free the people of Israel? I've been gone a long time. I've been gone many years. No one knows me anymore. They don't know who I am. They don't know they don't know why I ran away. Who am I to go You know, and I don't know about you, but if I'm Moses, I'm feeling uncertain. You know, I'm feeling scared. You know, God comes to us and he asks us to do things that are risky. He asks us to do things that will cost us something. And in asking us to do these things, we don't know the outcome. You know, okay, God, if I do it here, we don't know what the end result will be. We don't know how it's all going to work out. We don't know what it's going to look like. You know, we have our lives planned and what the and how we want to get there and how we want to finish our years and how we want to live today and all these kind of things. But then God calls us to situations that are uncertain, to places that are unknown, to people that we've not met before, to do things that seem impossible. But we know God is calling when he calls us in ways that cannot be humanly explained. So Moses objects, but then God answers Moses' objections with some simple words, with a simple promise. I will be with you. Moses, the reason that Pharaoh will meet with you and listen to you, the reason the people of Israel will follow you is because you have simply met God. You know, that's what's incredible about living as a Christian life and about the paradox of this whole thing. In one way, it's all about Moses, that God's come to Moses and inviting Moses to be the leader, to lead the people out of Israel. But on the other side, it's not about Moses at all. Because it's about God who called Moses. It's about God who would do the things that Moses cannot do. It's about God who would do all these miracles. And so it's all about Moses, but then it's not about Moses. It's about God. And then as this event unfurled and Moses began to understand what God was doing in his life, he understood his calling and what God needed him to do, and Moses spent the rest of his life setting God's people free. He set God's people free from the Egyptian. He set God's people free from their sin and rebellion, the 40 years in the desert, and he set God's people free so that one day they could step into the promised land that God had in store for them. God's calling for Moses was to set his people free. And that's God's calling to us at Temple Baptist Church. God's calling us to set people free from their broken relationships by offering them an incredible relationship through Jesus. We are to set people free from the decisions that they have made, the horrible decisions, destructive decisions they have made by offering them a way of life in Jesus Christ. We are to set them free from the hopelessness of the present to the hopefulness of an incredible eternal future with God. He has called us to set people free. That's his call to Moses, and that's his call to us. And the burning bushes in our lives are burning with the presence of God. And we have got to go over and get close to the burning bushes so that God will set us on fire. And that we will be his Moses, his people in this world who have been called and set apart and who are willing to take risks and do what God wants us to do, to set people free at the Eden Center, to set people free at the University of Illinois, to set people free in our community, to set people free who are all around us. But we've got to get close to the burning bush. And we've got to let God set us on fire. And Moses spent the rest of his life setting his people free. And we will too. Dear God in my life, use my life, Lord, as I'm getting older. Use my life to be set people free. And dear God, use our community of faith For people who are alone and looking for this community of faith to invite people in and be community, be family to them. And dear God, set us on fire. That whoever we come in contact this next week, that we would be open and we would be listening to your guidance and we would be paying attention to be able to turn aside and to be that man, that woman, to be used by you to set, even this week, one person free. In Jesus. Dear God, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for our time here together. Lord, let us follow you and be used by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.